Okay, here's a question, and this is a question from Lilavati Devi Dasi, and from her English, I take it this is the Hungarian Lilavati in England, in the environ, as they say in French, of the manor. And she says, you mentioned the importance of detachment. I asked senior Grihastha Vaishnavas to tell me, while you're young, it's difficult to be detached. And if you can't follow strictly when married, it's not a sin. It just means you're a second-class devotee, and hopefully one day you will be able to follow. I had different understanding from the books of Srila Prabhupada, and my practical realization is that if I do something wrong, even in the subtle way, I feel unhappy. So, is it true when what the senior Vaishnav said, and if so, is there a chance we ever will be detached? I'm going to answer this question. In other words, I'm answering what Lilavati says here, which may or may not fully represent whatever that senior Vaishnav said. My personal experience is that second-hand and third-hand information is different than what is originally said by the speaker. But I can't do anything other than just respond to Lilavati. So let me do that. As I remember right previously, I was in one previous podcast, I was emphasizing detachment, that ultimately we need to practice Bhairaga Vidyara Nija Bhakti Yoga, and that shloka was written by a Grihastha Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as defining the essence of Bhakti Yoga, which is knowledge and detachment. So Vaishnavas, in whatever ashram they are in, but albeit in different ways, need to be cultivating detachment in order to achieve detachment. A sannyasi should be fully detached from the members of the opposite sex. But if he's not achieved full detachment, at least his behavior should reflect the behavior of one who is fully detached. In other words, he should not associate intimately, and by the purificatory effect of Krishna consciousness, he'll gradually become fully detached within his mind. And of course, within his mind, he should also practice detachment by not thinking about sense objects. So that's called practicing detachment. A Grihastha, for instance, also practices detachment. His detachment is that he has only one spouse, one husband, one wife, and he should control his mind and senses by not thinking about other men or other women as alternate partners. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us this formula of no divorce, even when the infatuation wears off, even when the love transforms into friendship or loving friendship between husband and wife, even when the faults come out from under the cover of what was once the infatuation with member of the opposite sex. Still, our detachment is that remain faithful to our one husband and wife. And while doing so, then of course there's a license for husband and wife to have emotional and even physical exchange, but that's all done under the banner of Krishna consciousness and all done within the constraints of what a Krishna conscious marriage is. And for Grihastha then, that becomes cultivating detachment. And similarly, there are standards for brahmacharis, sannyasis, standards for varnaprasthas. So to say that, well, we're young, we're Westerners, although not really Westerner, Easterner, you don't really make much difference anymore, but we're young, we're in this modern world, and if you can't follow strictly when you're married, it's not a sin. I take that not following strictly means that we're not cultivating detachment, we're not following the principle, for instance, of no illicit sex, which means sex life only for the purpose of having children. That is our detachment. That is the Vairagya Vidya of a Krishna conscious householder. So here she says, if you can't do that, it's not a sin. But it is a sin. It's a sin because that's not the standard of pure devotional service. And there are quotes to that effect, and they're available in Manu Samhita and elsewhere. It's taken as a very grave sin for husband and wife to be enjoying each other as sense objects for the purpose of sense gratification, albeit there may be emotional involvement and a so-called loving exchange going on as well. But if it's not for propagation of Krishna consciousness in terms of increasing family members, then it's considered to be a sin. It's not a sin which is in the same category as sex life outside of marriage, or sex life even not even being married, or it's not as great a sin as a sannyasi falling down and having a sex life, which Narada Muni calls a vanatasi, or eating one's vomit. There are different degrees of sin, but it is a sin. And furthermore, not only is it a sin, but it should also be taken as an offense of sorts, because it contravenes the vows of initiation, vows taken to the guru, before the deity, before Vaishnavas, before the fire, and so on. So it is a sin. And fine, someone may say that they're a second-class devotee, and hopefully one day one will be able to follow. But what does it mean, hopefully one day one will be able to follow? What is that hope? And what if your hope doesn't come through? What if one day you don't follow, or there are no days that you end up following? Krishna consciousness isn't a matter of hope. It isn't that we become Krishna conscious simply by hoping or by chance, but rather it's purposeful. So it may be, and certainly because devotees are young, and it may be that they fall down. It may be that they don't keep their vows of initiation accidentally. Let me talk about here what is the case of grihasthas. But then we should make a philosophy of that. We should accept that it was a mistake, and apichit sudaracharo. And if one tries to rectify that mistake, one accepts that yes, this is not proper. This is not what I promised. This is not the standard of a first-class devotee. I want to be a first-class devotee, and therefore I should do whatever is in my power, take help from other senior grihasthas in order to rectify myself. That's the responsibility of every serious Vaishnava. But to make a philosophy, and this is what I read this as being, this is a philosophy. Well, we're young, and if you don't follow so strictly, it's not a sin. It just means that you know, take a second-class position, and anyway, one day things will improve. That's not very first-class, second-class, or even third-class, but rather that's being dishonest. Rather, we should be honest. We should know what is right and what is wrong, and if we do something that's wrong, then we should actually try to correct it. And even if we're having difficulty correcting it, then at least we should not concoct a philosophy to say that what right and wrong is, there's no difference. So pravrittischa, nivrittischa. Krishna doesn't think very highly of that type of logic and that type of confusion, especially when it's coming from Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas should know what is proper conduct, what is sadachar, and what is responsible behavior for a particular ashram. And if they can't do that, then fine, they should admit that, but they shouldn't say that it's all right. Neither should they think that hopefully someday they'll follow. It means that they should continue trying to rectify, and by trying, they will certainly get strength from their devotional practices and from Krishna, and one day they will follow. But we follow by trying. We don't follow by hoping. Because what happens is, if hoping is just a word, but actually it's not a form of sadhana, it becomes hopeless. One actually generally gives up hope, not that one maintains hope. hope one gets by making an effort and by engaging in regulated devotional practices. So I don't know what the senior Vaishnav said, Lilavati. I'm responding to what Lilavati said. I'm responding to what you said. And yes, we will become detached if we practice detachment. We don't become detached just because someone tells us. Someone will say, well, Prabhu, you're not that body. That's a nice reminder for us to keep reminding ourselves and to keep practicing those activities which reinforce the fact that we are spirit soul and we're not this body. But one doesn't become free from the bodily identity overnight. It's something that requires to be cultivated. Detachment from sense objects doesn't happen simply by hope or even simply by desire. But desire has to be there, and one has to perform the proctor activities that cultivate detachment. And when that detachment or cultivation of detachment matures, then one actually really becomes detached. And of course, the best way to become detached, or the only way to become detached, is by becoming attached to Krishna. So on one side, we want to give up attachment to the material world, but on the other side, we want to get attachment to Krishna. Raso varjam raso pyasya param drishtvani vartate. By worship of the deity, by chanting Hare Krishna, by engaging in sankirtan, by preaching, by distributing books, all of these things give us a higher taste, and that higher taste allows us to tolerate the influence of the lower taste of sense attraction, and ultimately bring us to the stage of full spiritual life, in which vairagya and bhajya become a natural consequence of param bhajati shri krishna sankirtanam. Hare Krishna.